to for the bread and maybe an allowance. How far difference is that time to the real time? Huh? 1 minute behind.
That and
you
see Sorry?
Did I touch you on the bum just?
All right, brethren, please find your seats, grab your hymnals. Find your seats and grab your hymnals. Welcome to church tonight. I really appreciate those who are able to come and visit and see the baptism, so I really appreciate you guys coming out for that. Let's start with hymn number 130. Hymn number 130, 130. Yesterday, today, forever. 130, yesterday, today, forever. When you have found it, can you please stand? 130, and let's sing it up to the Lord. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same.
Glory to his name. Glory. us never. Glory to his name.
All right, great singing. Let's go to a word of prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, forever, Lord. We know that Jesus Christ that we read in the Bible is still the Jesus that we worship and serve today. Lord, I thank you for the baptisms that we could do earlier before the service. What an honor, Lord, for these two take that first step of obedience, Lord, and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to represent the death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, and to acknowledge publicly, Lord, that they've placed their faith on you. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you for the family of God that you've given us, that we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord because of your Son. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with us tonight, Lord. We come to honor the death of your Son and to be touched by the Holy Spirit in thought and deed. So Lord, help us to grow and learn and be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Is it just me or is it a little stuff in here?
Yeah.
There's quite a few of us, more than normal. So let's turn on the aircon. Make sure it's not on heater. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, brother. All right, our next hymn is hymn number 66. Hymn number 66 at Calvary. Hymn number 66 at Calvary. And if you know those parts, sing it with me. Hymn number 66. Thanks, brother. 66. 66. Just two sixes.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not he was for me, he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free.
Free!
Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Me!
There my burdens of found liberty.
Help me out, guys.
By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free.
Free!
Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Me!
There my burdens all found liberty at Calvary.
Salvation's plan.
Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty hope that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free.
Free!
Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Me!
There my burdens all found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary.
Oh,
mercy there was great and grace was free.
Free!
Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Me!
There my burdens all found liberty at Calvary.
Great singing. One more hymn before the Bible reading. Hymn number 22. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hymn number 22. Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Amen. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hymn number 22.
Amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the colour, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul planted blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Of the Lamb, are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Great singing. Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 to be read by Matthew. Matthew 26. To be read by Matthew. How old are you, brother? 826? By Matthew 26. All right. Oh, up to verse 46.
Matthew 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to be gathered here in your house to hear the preaching from your word. Bless us through that preaching. Bless Pastor as he preaches. Fill him with your spirit and give us soft hearts to and ears to listen and to learn something from your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, before I get into the sermon, just a shout out to little Carol. She wanted to be here. We think she's here with us in spirit, but she might be listening online. So, little Carol, if you're listening online, special shout out to you. All right. So, all right. So we're there in Matthew 26, and of course, Matthew 26 has a lot of great stories in it. Not just the lead up to Christ, but also his arrest. And in Matthew 26, we have the Lord's table. You know, Jesus Christ is sharing the bread and the grape juice and the drink there with his disciples. And of course, we're going to participate at the Lord's table in a moment. But I want to fast forward to an event that took place after this, when Jesus Christ goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. You know, Christ is preparing himself for the greatest difficulty that he's ever going to face, the greatest difficulty that any man could ever face, that is to die for the sins of the entire world. And so what I think we see in this passage here of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane is a really great example of how to get through difficulties. It's not just Christ that's going to go through some difficulties, but his disciples are also going to go through some difficulties. Okay? If you have a look there in Matthew 26 and look at verse number 31, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 26 verse 31, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So not only is Jesus Christ going to be smitten upon, you know, it's going to cause the sheep of the shepherd, the sheep of the flock to be scattered. And so this is a difficult time for Jesus, but it's also going to be a difficult time for his disciples. And I want to show you that, obviously, when we think of Christ, we know that he's successful in getting through difficulties. And when we think of the disciples during this time, the 3 days and three nights, they were fearful. They were afraid. That they ran for their lives. They went and they hid themselves for fear of the Jews. And so they both had a very different reaction. And I want to show you the preparedness of Jesus Christ. And I want you, because, you know, life has difficulties. You know, there might be difficulties that you're about to face. And I want to show you by the example of Christ how you can prepare yourself for such difficulties. Look at Matthew 26, verse number 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The title for the sermon this evening is Watch and Pray. Watch and pray. And that is the key. You know, if you want to get through a difficult, a challenging time that you know is up ahead, then you need to watch and pray. You know, to watch is to be aware of difficulties. You know, we should not be ignorant people and just go by, you know, go through life, well, I don't know, like an airhead or something. You know, there are problems, there are challenges, right? Life is not easy. We should be aware that there is always difficulties, there's always challenges ahead in our life. And sometimes we know things may develop in the future. You know, we need to be watchful. We need to be aware. We need to be smart Christians, knowing that we're like sheep being led to the slaughter. But watching is one thing. And of course, prayer. And prayer is self-explanatory, right? To ask God's help to prepare for the difficulties. It's fine to watch. Yes, I understand difficult times are coming, but now we need to go in prayer to God and say, God, help us for this time of difficulty. Amen. So then what is Christ going to do? He's finished the Lord's table. He knows that he's about to be arrested and he's going to suffer greatly for our sins. But before he does that, he watches and prays, doesn't he? So Matthew 26, verse number 31. Matthew 26, verse number 31. Let's have a look at this. Then saith Jesus unto them, verse number 36. Sorry, Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. All right, so Jesus Christ takes his disciples and says, look, I need to go to a place of prayer. You guys wait here, and I go and pray yonder. The first point that I have for you, brethren, in order for you to get through difficulties, is that you need to go to a place alone and get a hold of God. Look, when we talk about prayer, look, I understand we prayed before the preaching, we prayed before as we started the service, we're going to pray at the end of the service. And you know, the prayers that we do in church, you know, there's some, you know, 20 seconds long, 30 seconds long, potentially, I'm not sure, right? But you know, you need to understand, and it's good to pray that way. It's fine to be talking to our Father on a regular basis. But I strongly encourage you, you know, there comes a time when you're going through a difficulty that you just need to get away from everything. You need to find your Garden of Gethsemane, as it were, and go alone and just spend some time with God. Just go alone and grab a hold of God and say, God, I need your help. Like, you know, a 10-second prayer is not going to be enough. You need to spend time with our Lord God. And brethren, you know, we have relationships. We have friendships in our church. And of course, when we spend time together, you know, it's not just 10 seconds. All right, hey, brother, see you later, brother. All right, all good. No. In order to develop a relationship, in order to be able to share difficulties, you need to get to know one another. You know, God reveals who he is by his word. Yeah. You know, God has given us, you know, a way to communicate to him. And that is to pray. And as it is, Reverend, there's been many times in my life when I've had to just go to a place all on my own and just pour my soul out to the Lord. My question to you is, when is the last time you've done that? When is the last time that you've just got on your hands and your knees and you bowed your head and say, Lord, it's just you and me. I need to talk to you. Lord, I've got so many things that I need to get off my chest. You know, as human beings, we love to run to man. We love to run maybe to the pastor, or we love to run to a therapist, a psychologist, or someone. You know, you need to run to God. Yeah. When it's difficult, you run to him. Like, he knows your pain. He knows what you're going to go through. Like, no man can really understand what it is like to be in your shoes. But Christ knows, because he paid for your penalty. Yeah. He paid for your sins. He paid for your difficulties. Amen. He paid for the consequences of your sins. So, brethren, point number one is go to a place alone and get a hold of God. You know, I want you to get through difficulties. Remember, it said there in verse number 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. What is temptation? Temptation is not a sin. We're all tempted. Temptation can be a reference to being tempted to sin. Or it could be a trial, a difficult time. And we all go through temptation. The trial or the temptation in of itself is not sinful. But if you fail, if you give into that temptation, that is when it becomes sinful. And Jesus Christ just makes it very clear, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, if you're struggling with some sin in your life that you're just battling day after day after day, what is the answer? Watch and pray. Be vigilant. Be aware. Okay? Stop giving into the flesh. Understand what the dangers are that are causing you to give into that temptation. And go to God in prayer. Like if you're tempted to something so wicked, and you say, you know what, before I, you know, I think I'm going to do this wickedness. And before I do, I'm just going to, Lord, help me. Lord, I want to think of you. I want to think of your son and your sacrifice. And Lord, right now I'm struggling. I need to go to you, Lord. I'm telling you, there's something about that closeness with the Lord. Going to him, grabbing him one-on-one. That's where you're going to find victory. Point number one is go to a place alone and get a hold of God. Let's keep going there. Verse number 37. I don't want to preach too long, brethren, I hope. Verse number 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, so that's James and John, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Of course, he's going to pay a great penalty. Look at what he says, verse number 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jesus Christ takes his three best friends and says, guys, can you watch with me? Can you watch and pray with me? The next point that I have for you, brethren, is ask others to watch and pray for you. You know, yes, you're going through difficulties. There's nothing wrong with going to people that you care about. And look, we've been blessed with a great church here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, you can go to your brothers and sisters and say, you know, you don't even need to share necessarily what it is that you're going through. Just say, brother, like if you're, you know, kind of ashamed of what it is, or the Lord knows. You go to say, brother, look, I'm going through a difficulty. Can you please keep me in prayer? You know, brother, I'm going through some challenges in my marriage right now. Sister, can you please pray for me? These things are good. These things are proper. We have, you know, even if you're not at church, you know, some of you travel far to be in church. You know, we've got the church chat. You can use that. People use that. Praise God when you do. You know, when someone's going through a challenge, hey, brethren, can you please pray for me? I'm in a tough situation. Point number two is ask others to watch and pray for you. That's what he does, right? Jesus Christ takes his three best friends, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Makes me really sad because I know they don't watch with Christ. They fall asleep, you know? But we see the example. It's a good example to watch and pray. And you know, it makes me sad because there are people that say to me, Pastor, can you pray for me? And I forget. You know, and I've had to make a decision. You know, as soon as someone says to me, can you please pray about this situation? I'm like, I'm going to pray about it now then. All right? I'm going to stop whatever it is I'm doing, and I'm just going to spend a moment and say, Lord, please, this person has asked for prayer. Can you please hear what they have to say? Can you please work with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? It makes me so sad when I forget to pray. Just like these disciples, you know the story, they fall asleep. They don't pray with Christ. He's about to go through the greatest suffering any man can ever go through. Ask others to watch and pray for you. So as I said, you've got a pastor. You know, if you've got difficulties, please reach out to me. You don't have to give me all of it. I don't really want to know all your dirty laundry. Okay, but you just share just briefly what it is, and I promise I'll be there. Well, I don't want to promise because I haven't done it all the time. But I'll be there. You know, I want to make sure that I'll bow my head and take your request to the Father. You know, this is good to pray for one another. Verse number 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, I want you to notice the next words. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. First thing I want you to notice, he goes to the Father, he prays, falls on his face. When's the last time you prayed like that, falling on your face? This is why you need to sometimes get alone. Like it's not, you know, probably in front of a church, you know, it's a bit embarrassing maybe. But you know, you go alone with God, and I'll just fall on your face. Get on your knees. Put your head down on the floor. Just break, humble yourself. You know, when you put yourself in that position bodily, it helps your heart be softened, you know, and go before God as a needy person. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What he says to the Father is there any other possible way, you know, for mankind to be saved from their sins? Is there any other possible outcome? Brethren, the next point that I have for you, point number three, is consider various possible outcomes. Consider various possible outcomes. What are you talking about, Pastor? There's not always one way to do things. You need to understand, okay? If you're going to go through a difficulty, you know, and I say this to people, you guys know, I say this, don't put all of your eggs in one basket because you don't know if that option is going to work out. Christ is asking, if it be possible, are there other possibilities? You know, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are the possibilities? What are the outcomes? Let me give you an example. I had a great desire to start a church. you know, 5 years ago, six, almost 6 years ago, decided to start a church. And I'm here in Sydney. I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of great churches in Sydney. You know, Lord, I believe you want me to go somewhere, but where is that where you want me to go? You know, what are the possible outcomes? What are the possible destinations that you would want me to go? I don't know. You know, I don't know Australia really all that well. I never even heard of the Sunshine Coast, believe it or not. I heard of Queensland, but not the Sunshine Coast. You know, and like, Lord, where do I go? And I picked my family up. We went to Adelaide just for a whole holiday, family holiday. So, Lord, is it Adelaide? I'll go to Adelaide. I'll go visit some churches and see how the situation is. Are people preaching the gospel? And I came back and I spoke to my pastor. My pastor said, well, Adelaide was once in the 80s the hub of the independent Baptist movement. And I kind of thought, well, if that's the case, and there was a lot of IFB churches there, you know, Adelaide has had its opportunity. I want to go to a place where the gospel is not being preached. You know? And it's like, you just have to say, Lord, what are the scenarios? Not my will, but thy will be done. I don't know, Lord. And you've got to be open. You've got to be, flexible with the Lord. You know, sometimes we have our will and we want it our way, but it's not always the Lord's way. But it's fine. Say, Lord, these are the scenarios at hand. Where do you want me to go? Eventually, the Lord opened the doors for me in particular to go to the Sunshine Coast. Never heard of the place before. What a beautiful place to go. Okay, I'm very thankful for that. Not just New Life Baptist Church, but Blessed Hope Baptist Church as an example. You know, some of you guys know that families left my sending church and they were without fellowship. They were without churches. And I just decided, Lord, what are the outcomes? What are the possible scenarios? What do we do? You know, I love the brethren there in Sydney. What do we do, Lord? You know, so I came to visit Sydney, try to meet with the families, and it's like, well, maybe we can just start a bit of a fellowship, you know, a bit of a ministry of New Life Baptist Church down in Sydney, a bit of a Band-Aid solution to see how things go. I don't know, maybe our old pastor's going to fix things up and you guys can return back there. I don't know, maybe there's another great church in Sydney that you guys can get plugged into. I don't know, maybe this church can take off and be its own thing. I don't know. But Lord, it's up to you. What are the possible outcomes? And you need to be flexible. You need to just, when you allow yourself to be flexible, you're allowing the Lord God to guide you and to direct you in the way that he wants you to go. Matthew 26, let's continue there in verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? How long did Jesus Christ go and pray? 1 hour. He comes back, Peter's asleep. He said, Peter, you could not watch with me 1 hour? Reverend, when's the last time you prayed for 1 hour? When's the last time you've prayed for an hour? So most of our prayers are 20 seconds long. Look, Christ is the example. Christ is God. Yeah. And even he prays for an hour to the Father when he's about to face difficulties. Are you better than Christ? Am I better than Christ? Of course not. Point number four, and I kind of mentioned it a bit earlier, but a 5-minute prayer would not suffice. You know, you're about to go through some challenge, some difficulty. You got some big decisions to make in life. 5 minutes is not going to cut it. I know you probably think you only have 5 minutes. That's why you need to go alone and find God and grab a hold of him and say, Lord, at least an hour I'm going to watch and pray. Christ returns to Peter, his friend. Peter's asleep. We start to realize why Christ is successful as he goes through difficulties and why the disciples fail. We start to understand why the disciples are fearful and they scatter and they hide from the fear of the Jews. Because they're not preparing themselves. They're not watching and praying. They're going to sleep. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that needs my sleep. Like, I know if I was one of these disciples in time of Jesus, I'd be sleeping. Like, I know that. It's been a long day. Okay, it's early in the morning when Christ gets arrested and all that stuff, right? I can understand. I need my sleep. You know, so I can understand. But brethren, you know, when there's difficulties and the Lord's been warning them, leading up to all of this, just how difficult it's going to be. You know, that the shepherd's going to be, they're going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to be scattered. Remember, what did Peter say? You know, Lord, he'll never deny the Lord, right? Like, he's willing to die for the Lord, Peter says. Yeah, he's asleep already. He can't even watch and pray for 1 hour. So, brethren, can you please keep your finger there and come with me to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And Brother Ash, I know I preached on this. I can't remember, was it New Life Baptist Church on the wrestling or Blessed Hope? Jacob wrestling with God.
Yeah,
was it New Life? Or?
Yeah, New Life.
I was new life. So this is, okay, still new for you guys, hopefully. Okay, let's go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verse 24. Maybe I did preach this, I don't know. But Genesis 32, verse 24. We have this amazing story of Jacob wrestling with God. And Jacob was left alone, verse number 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I'll tell you just right now, that man is Jesus. The only one that's a man, he says later on, I saw God, but it says he's a man. There's only one that is man and God. Okay, that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, he's wrestling Jesus. Say, why would Jesus want to wrestle? What is this show of strength? What is going on? And they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. They're wrestling all night long till the morning comes.
Amen.
I mean, imagine that, wrestling that long. My kids are Taekwondo, and like after an hour of training, they're done. They're exhausted. Imagine going all day long wrestling with someone. Verse number 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, so he's not winning this battle, right? This wrestling match. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joints as he wrestled with him. Jacob is not letting go of Jesus. Okay? They're both wrestling. Jacob is not letting go. He's got a hold of Jesus Christ, and he won't let go. And he said, let me go. Jesus Christ saying, let me go, for the day breaketh. Come on, Jacob, we've been doing this all night. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.
Amen.
Brethren, when's the last time you prayed like this?
Amen.
This is a picture of prayer. I know we're not going to physically wrestle Christ, but praying is not easy. Yeah, 20 seconds is okay.
Amen.
Have you ever tried to pray for 1 hour? I bet you start praying 1 hour, your mind starts wandering on other things. How many times have I prayed at night, exhausted, and then I wake up in the morning? Did I finish my prayer?
Amen.
I'm exhausted. This was a wrestling match. I don't think I got through that. I think I lost that match. But Jacob would not let go. He says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He says, look, I need an answer to my prayers. This is a hard time for Jacob. He's returning back to see his twin brother Esau, who had made a vow to kill Jacob. Okay, he needs the Lord to bless him. He needs spiritual victory over his brother Esau.
Yeah.
Verse number 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
Amen.
Jesus says, you've won. You've prevailed. You've got power over man and power with God and with men.
Yep.
Brethren, you've got power with God. You just have to bow your head and speak to the Lord and grab a hold of him all day long, all night long, and say, Lord, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until you give me an answer, until you direct my paths. Look, the Lord blesses Jacob with this attitude. You know, the Lord wants us to go in that wrestling match with him. He wants to see your heart and your soul and your tears and your strength given all in prayer to Jesus Christ. Can you do it? Power with God and with men. He has power over his brother Esau. Esau's heart gets changed.
Yeah.
Esau had made a vow to kill his brother Jacob. But when Esau sees Jacob, you know, he embraces him. He hugs him. Peace between the twins. It's peace between the twin brothers. Because Jacob went all night long with God.
Yeah.
Can you do that? 5 minutes, point number four, a 5 minute prayer will not suffice. It's got to be an all night prayer. And look, I'm not saying that you're going to do that every night, but there just comes a time when you're just at your wit's end. Have you ever been like that? When you just don't know the answer. You don't know what the next steps are. You don't know what God wants in your life. Don't come to me. Go and wrestle with God. Get a hold of him. Okay, and it's going to be exhausting, but it needs to be done. Back to Matthew 26 and verse number 41. Matthew 26 and verse number 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's the only way to overcome the temptations in your life. You got to watch and pray. Look at this. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look, the flesh of Peter and the disciples, it's weak. Ugh, they've fallen asleep. Jesus Christ said, your spirit is willing. Like the new man, when you're saved, you have the new man. You're born of the Spirit. The Spirit is willing. The Spirit is the one that says, you know what? I'm going to watch and pray all night long. I'm going to go hour-long in prayer with my Lord God. That's the spirit. When you start, your body's, oh man, this is tiring. It's the flesh. Your flesh is weak. This is why you fail. So why are you giving to temptation? This is why when difficulties come, you know, you're at your wit's end. You've not prepared yourself. The flesh is weak. But God knows this. Christ knows this. Brethren, the point number five that I have for you tonight is address your weaknesses and limitations. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Yep. One thing we see here, your spirit is strong, but your flesh is weak. You say, oh, hold on. My spirit is strong, my flesh is weak, then I should always win in the new man. No, the reason you lose is because your flesh is weak. Like, the new man needs to operate through this flesh. And if this flesh is weak, you're not going to succeed. You're going to run away when times get tough. You know, you're going to be scattered when things get difficult. You're not going to be able to stand for Christ. As much as you think you will, we have Peter. Don't forget Peter in this story. It's like, I'm going all the way. I'm willing to die. I'll never deny you. Before the day ends, before the morning starts, he's already denying Christ three times. Yeah. You need to just realize who you are. Yes, praise God, you're saved. Praise God, you have the new man that is willing. The new man within you loves God, wants to serve him, wants to always do the right things, wants to be in church, wants to sing praises. But the reason you fail is because of your flesh. That flesh is sinful. You know, when you sin, it's in this body. It's done in this body. The spirit remains untainted. Praise God for that. You know, you're not going to heaven in this body. Thank God. I don't want to take this corrupt body to heaven. God one day has promised us a new body one day. But hey, in my spirit, I can go to heaven because it's without sin. It's untainted. That spirit is willing. That spirit is strong, but my flesh is weak. Can you come and keep your finger there and come with me to Galatians 6. Come with me to Galatians chapter 6. Address your weaknesses and limitations. As much as you might want to do great things for God, you are limited and you have weaknesses. And there are ways around this. One great thing is church, because, again, like I said, we all have strengths and weaknesses. An area where one might be weak, someone else in church might be strong. Okay, and where that person is weak, there might be someone else in church that is strong in that area. That's the advantage of church. Because we're the body of Christ, we're here together, we're serving the Lord together, and we can help each other as we come to church and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, think of the example of let's say one man is a plumber and one man is an electrician. All right? And the plumber needs electrical work done in his house. But he's weak at that. He doesn't know how to do it. And the electrician has some plumbing work that needs to be done in his house. But he doesn't know how to do the plumbing. Okay, but those two come together and go, look, we got weaknesses and we got strengths. You come to my house, you do the electrical work. You come to my house and you do the plumbing work. And you help each other out. You know, you're focused on your strengths. That's the advantage of, you know, being amongst God's people. Because we're all different. You know, we all present different gifts and different abilities, different strengths. But we also have weaknesses. And I want to read there in Galatians 6, verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. This is so important, okay? This is how you win the battle of the flesh. It says in Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to reap? You want to, like, what do you want to reap in life? You say, I want to be always loyal and faithful to my God. I want to be in church every service if I can. You know, well, I want to read through my Bible, at least the entire Bible once a year. You know, I want to go out soul winning. You know, I want to make sure I get out there at least, I don't know, at least 1 hour a week or something like that, right? Whatever your numbers are. But look, God is not mocked. I know your spirit is willing, but you need to make sure that you sow to the right things. Let's keep going there. It says in verse number 8, it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Look, you're saved by grace through faith on the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. But now that you're saved, you have a dual nature, the flesh and the spirit. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you've got a choice now in your life. Which one am I going to sow to? Which one am I going to feed? Like, you know, sowing is basically, you know, throwing out seeds, you know, for some fruitful season to come. Well, there's a lot that we do in our flesh. There's a lot that we do that just has no eternal value, right? When you sow to the Spirit, it says you reap life everlasting. When you reap into the Spirit, these things matter for eternity. Like living godly and doing what God asks from you from God's Word, this matters for eternity because Christ is going to reward you. If you win souls, that matters for eternity because that soul can go to heaven with you. But there are things that you do on this earth that has no eternal value. All it does is feed the flesh. Hollywood movies, okay? The entertainment, the music industry, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't even know music artists anymore. I'm so old, like, all I know is from the 80s and 90s. I have no idea what's happening these days. But, you know, like, if you just give yourself to these things that you know does not please the Lord, you know there's no eternal value to these things, you're sowing to the flesh. You're giving what the flesh wants. And brethren, if you, you know, the example that I've heard many times, if you had two dogs and you feed one dog, but the other dog you don't feed, and they get into a battle, which one's going to win? Obviously the one that you fed. Okay, that one's going to be strong. And the one that you haven't fed is going to be weaker. And, you know, come a battle time, the strong one's going to win. But if you sow to your flesh, you give what your flesh wants over and over and over again. Thank God that you're in church, you're sowing to the Spirit right now. But brethren, when it comes to a time of temptation, okay, and you're sowing to the flesh doesn't get stronger, it gets weaker the more you sow to that stupid flesh because it reaps corruption in you. You give your flesh everything it wants. When it comes time to temptation, you're going to give in to those temptations and sin against the Lord. Gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And brethren, you need time to sow to the Spirit. You know, going and having a prayer time with the Lord, 1 hour, or wrestling all night if you have to, that's sowing to the Spirit. That's a good thing to do. Reading your Bible. You know, don't, you know, coming to church and applying, more important, applying what you hear at church. These things are sowing to the Spirit. Getting baptized, sowing to the Spirit. Fulfilling the Great Commission. Going soul winning. These things. Sow into the Spirit, loving the brethren, serving the brethren, reading the Bible at church, preaching, song leading, singing together, praises to Jesus Christ, you know, participating of the Lord's table tonight. This is all sow into the Spirit. We got to watch and pray because life is not easy. And you're going to find yourself just constantly giving into the flesh, constantly failing when you sow to that flesh that gets in the way. So, brethren, address your weakness, okay? Your flesh is weak. Address your limitations. You know, your spirit is willing, okay? You know your spirit is strong. Your spirit serves the Lord. Then you've got to strengthen that spirit by sowing to the Spirit, by doing what the Lord requests from you. Come back with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 42. So, Christ, we saw, you know, he went to pray for 1 hour. He comes back, Peter's asleep. You know, Christ is a bit frustrated at this. And then he goes and prays again. He says in verse number 42, he went away again the second time and prayed. You know, what an example of Christ, though. You know, this might be another hour. I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly how long he prayed for. But I want you to notice a change. Remember he said to the Father before, you know, if it be possible. Look what he says this time when he prays, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Instead of saying, "Lord, is it possible? Is there other possibilities?" Now Christ realizes, no, this is the only one. This is the only choice. This is the only way it can happen. He goes, "Thy will be done." Point number 6 that I have for you, brethren, is accept the will of God. Amen. Accept the will of God. I know there are possibilities, different outcomes. And as I said to you, you need to listen to the Lord's guidance. But brethren, again, one of the only ways you're going to get the guidance from the Lord is just getting out there and just praying. Get out there alone. Let me encourage you. Find a place that you can be by yourself for a few hours. Get a hold of God and say, "Lord, what is your will?" And you can see he goes and prays a second time. Now he knows definitely the will of the Father. He says, "If this cup may not pass away from me, and I drink it, thy will be done. Except I drink it, thy will be done." Accept the will of God. I've been sharing this with a few people actually recently. You know, God opens doors and God closes doors. And you need to set aside your preferences, okay, and say, Lord, what door are you opening right now? And then you got to take that door. You got to walk through that door, because then doors close. You know, when I was telling you about New Life Baptist Church, I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? And the doors started to open for Sunshine Coast. I met someone looking for a church. And I was like, Lord, maybe you want me to go there? Doesn't look like the churches that are there are preaching the gospel. Maybe that's where you want me to go. I've shared this story many times. I was, Lord, maybe that's the will. I don't know. Are there any other possibilities? And then my parents come up to me about a month later. They've never been to the Sunshine Coast. And they're like, Kevin, we're going to the Sunshine Coast on holidays. Do you want to come with us? I was like, well, amen. I guess that's where I need to go if the doors are opening. And I went on my holidays and met other people, tried to get, you know, brethren together. And then got back here, met some friends in Newcastle one day. And I shared with him, look, I'm thinking of starting a church one day. And he's like, oh, I told him, I'm thinking of the Sunshine Coast. What do you reckon? I forgot that he was from Queensland. Like, he's from Brisbane originally. I forgot about that. And on my last trip to the Sunshine Coast, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I think we're going to start a church in Caloundra, in the Caloundra area of the Sunshine Coast. Anyway, I'm talking to my friend. I'm thinking of going to the Sunshine Coast. What do you reckon? He says to me, you know what? That's probably the best place to go. And I highly recommend that you go study in Caloundra. So I was like, all right, Lord, that's enough. You know, and there were other things that led up to it, but it became very obvious that's exactly where God wanted me to go. But I realized if I don't go, if I don't make that decision, if I don't settle this and start preparing our journey, that door can close. Like, this is the time. The Lord has opened the doors, and if I don't walk through those doors, I'm afraid what might happen, because I've been asking God, where do you want me to go? Lord, what is your will? What is your desire? You know, when I told my wife that I wanted to start a church, she said, oh, anywhere but Queensland. It's the Lord's will be done. The Lord's will be done, right? And so point number 6 tonight, brethren, is accept the will of God. It's not always your will. In fact, God's will is better than your will. You'll learn that in time. I promise you'll learn that in time if you don't know that already. Okay? Because I know being young. I remember being 14 years old and saying, I want my will. Lord, can you just make it happen for me the way I want things to happen? Man, if it was my will, I'd have 3 kids. God never gave me 3 kids. We went from 1 to 2 to 4 twins. If it was my will, that's it, 3 kids. God's will is better. God knows. Right? Once you get to 4, 5 doesn't matter anymore. Once you get to 5, 6 doesn't matter anymore. And that's the journey. But accept the will of God. He's got the best interest for you. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you just walk in God's will, He's going to make sure you're equipped and able to get through your difficulty, your challenge, you know, the big question marks that you have in life. God will equip you. He'll give you, it's His will. Yeah. If it's His will, He'll make it happen.
Yep.
You know, if it's God's will, He makes sure the finances are there. That'll make it happen. He'll give you the job. He'll give you the relationship. He'll give you the children. He'll give you the family. He'll give you the friends. He'll give you the church. As long as you step into God's will, accept the will of God in your life. Verse number 43. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What are the same words? He's accepted, right? Thy will be done. He's accepted the will of the Father. But notice again, the disciples. Like, we're comparing Jesus with the disciples. It's a totally different attitude. They're about to go through some of the biggest challenges in their life. Different attitude. Christ goes a third time to pray. Brethren, again, a good example. Remember, Jesus is God. Okay, Jesus is God. Are you better than Jesus? Then you need to go to God at least 3 times. You need to go to God 3 hours, 1 hour, another hour, another hour, until you get the answer you need. Until you get the help that you need. Now, this passage doesn't explain what happened. Another gospel, I can't remember which gospel it is. The Father sends angels to minister unto Christ, if you know the story. So the Lord God, you know, the Father, you know, comforts and encourages the Son. And I'm telling you, when you just spend alone time with God and just pour out your heart, you know, and you say, Lord, your will, not my will, be done. I promise you, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be lifted up. You're going to have a great time. You know, when sometimes when people hit the gym, they get exhausted. And I'm like, that was a great workout. It feels good after a good workout. You know, when you spend time alone with God and have a good workout with God, a good wrestling match with God, it feels good in the spirit. Sow into the spirit. So he says the same words. Look at verse number 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Now, you're saying, oh, okay, Jesus Christ, feel sorry for them, let him sleep. No. He's using irony. Do you know what irony is? It's basically saying conveying the opposite to what your words are. Okay? Jesus Christ is not saying, all right, have a sleep, guys. Because look what he says. Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So he's saying, all right, guys, just go to sleep because I'm about to be betrayed right now. Because then he says this, rise, wake up, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. So it's like this verse number 46 is really what he means. Wake up, come on, now is the time. So the whole sleep on now is just the irony, right? It's expressing the opposite to what he said. You know, Christ is telling them, look, you've lost your chance. You might as well just keep sleeping then. Like you've lost your chance to watch and pray. You know, and you know, brethren, when you see something down the track, some challenge that you're about to face, prepare yourself. Okay, don't just go, oh, I'll deal with that when I get there. Prepare yourself now. You know, find the Garden of Gethsemane and prepare yourself now. Because once the challenge and the difficulty comes in your life, it's too late. You've not prepared yourself. The disciples did not prepare themselves. They were scattered. They fled. They were fearful for their lives. They were hiding until Christ was resurrected. Listen, the disciples failed during those 3 days and three nights. But of course, Jesus Christ was victorious. He went through the biggest challenge that is anyone, the Lord God has gone through, paying for your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world upon himself. Point number 7, brethren, is don't neglect your opportunity to watch and pray. Don't neglect the opportunity to watch and pray, because before you know it, there's the challenge. There's the trouble. There's the difficulty right around the corner. And there's not enough time anymore. You've got to face the difficulty. Have you prepared? Jesus Christ prepared. The title for the sermon was Watch and Pray. And as I said, brethren, I know I failed. Prayer for me is hard. Like attending church is easier than praying for me. You know, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because I'm the pastor and I've got to be here. I don't know what it is. But spending that time with the Lord is hard. Okay, it's hard. And you got to find time because our lives are busy. But brethren, you've got to be watchful. Be alert. You know, don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid Christians. Stupid's not the right word. Don't be negligent Christians. Okay, Satan is as a lion roaring about seeking whom he may devour. You know, we live in a world, the devil is the prince of this world. Right? You've got the battle of your flesh, you've got a battle in your mind. There are so many battles, it's exhausting. And in order for you to have victory when the challenges come, in order for you to overcome temptations, you must watch and pray. So brethren, just in conclusion, let me just give you those 7 points from this story. Number 1, go to a place alone and get a hold of God. Number 2, ask others to watch and pray for you. Number 3, consider various possible outcomes. Number 4, a 5-minute prayer will not suffice. Number 5, address your weaknesses and limitations. Number 6, accept the will of God. And number 7, don't neglect your opportunity to watch and pray. Okay, let's pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the example of Christ. And Lord, as he was about to face the most difficult time to take on the sins of the world, Lord, what an example he's given us to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and to go in prayer 3 times to speak to you. And Lord, I just thank you that you've made us your children. I thank you that you've given us access to you, Lord, in prayer. And Lord, I pray we would not take it for granted that we can speak to the God of the universe, the God that can help us in all difficulties and trials, the God that can help us have victory over temptations. And Lord, help us to have that wrestling match with you, Lord. Sometimes we need to get a hold of you and we can't let go. Lord, help us not to let go. Help us not to give in to the weak flesh, but to, Lord, in the strength of the new man, as we sow toward this new man, Lord, you would give us a victorious Christian life. And Lord, please help us through all the difficulties and temptations that we go through in life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please take your hymnals. and turn with me to hymn number 250. Obviously, the theme of all our songs are about the cross and the sacrifice of our Lord. 250, burdens are lifted at Calvary. 250, burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted.
In a word of prayer, but also give thanks for the food. And then when we're done, if you guys can help me with the chairs, we have some tables. We've got some tables up there and some tables back there. So let's set up a few tables. Let's see how we can organize ourselves. But if we can just move the chairs maybe to the sides, and we can kind of then maybe, I don't know, I reckon we just eat on the chair. We just eat on the chair, but we can put the pizzas on the table. Let's do that, okay? So let's just figure something out, and I'm sure if everybody just moves a chair, it'll be very helpful. All right, let's end in a word of prayer, and let's give thanks for the food. Yes, Lord, once again, we just come with you to you tonight. Lord, I thank you that we can be here remembering the death of our Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we fellowship right now over pizza, Lord, it's just a time to remember the fact that Christ had a last supper with his disciples. And then later, Lord, we'll participate of the broken bread and blood. And Lord, I just pray that it would be a somber time, a time of humility, Lord, as we consider what Christ has done for us. But Lord, also a time of rejoicing, knowing that he went and paid for our sins and rose from the dead. And Lord, has given us a victorious spiritual life. Help us to walk in that life that Christ has given us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, actually in the food. Lord, thank you for the food. We want to give you thanksgiving to it. Please bless it to our bodies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Did you notice us harmonizing? Did you notice us harmonizing?
No.